Morning, church. Shalom. All of you, please have a seat and welcome to Church of Our Savior. This is our communion service this week. And as always, we welcome those of you who are joining us for the very first time. And of course, those of you who are online as well, we welcome you. And we hope that you will find the time to join us back physically. All right? You know, it's been such a crazy time. We live in troubled days. And what a difference a week has made. Right? Last week, you know, I mean, well, last week, Pastor Eunice was 45 years old. I can't say the actual number, obviously, right? But this week, she's no longer 45. Last week, you know, I was planning to go back to visit my dad and, you know, let him hear some songs, but actually he passed away. So I was able to go back, but, you know, after the funeral. Just 1 week, so much has changed. Last week, Singapore was talking about, you know, maybe easing the measures. And I was actually thinking that maybe today could be a day that we can actually have an altar call. People could come forward to be prayed for, you know. But as things turned out, it wasn't meant to be. And this week, instead of talking about, you know, more relaxed measures, we're actually talking about this whole crazy thing that's going on in Russia and Ukraine. And the world has been thrown into chaos. Instead of talking about that, now people are talking about how to strike new peace treaties, you know, democratic processes, maybe even more effective deterrence, as all means and ways to try and find peace in our times. But we know as a church that there can be no peace until first of all, we meet with the Prince of Peace himself in our lives and also in this world. Until we finally come under the kingdom of God, there cannot be real peace, right? So it is very troubled times that we're living in these days. There are many things that we can do, there are many things that we need to do, but no more thing more important to do than to draw near to God, to be where God wants us to be, to have our encounter with Him. That's what we're talking about today. Now, when you talk about encountering God, there's many stories of encountering God in the Bible, but one stands out above the rest, and that is Moses' encounter with God at the burning bush in the book of Exodus chapter 3. At that point in his life, Moses was already close to 80 years old. He's not your spring chicken anymore. Having spent the vast majority of his life, a good half of his life, at the back of the Midian desert, shepherding not his own sheep, but his father-in-law's sheep. This was his life now. No longer filled with energy, ambition, the youthful vigor of the past. Definitely no more the prince of Egypt, but just a lowly and humble shepherd. And an old one at that. Now talking about old, you know, this is something that's always on my mind. I was just constantly thinking about how to care for you guys as you get older. And of course, myself also getting older, but you guys first, right? And thinking about how to make sure, you know, we can be there for one another where it counts. We all grow old physically. You can't stop that. And maybe a bit of SK2 lah, or whatever things that you apply to your face, you know, put more aloe vera. You try all these things, but we cannot stop the hands of time that moves inexorably forward. Our body will break down. Our organs will break down. And soon, eventually, we will die and we will go and meet with the Lord. We cannot stop the physical aging process. Now that said, Moses, though he was old, was incredibly fit. We know that because in the rest of Exodus, he runs up the mountain to talk to God, brings a message down. They had no WhatsApp those days. Moses was the app, right? He ran up, got a message, came down, sent a message, got a message from people. He up and down so many times, probably 20 over times. I think the last time I counted it was something like that. He went up and down. He was very fit, although he was old. Now, there are many different ways of being old, right? Physically, we recognize ourselves getting older. Sometimes my memory is not what it used to be, right? Maybe your reflexes, not what you used to be also. But there's another kind of getting old. That is to be spiritually old. You know, when we were young in the Lord, we were passionate. Our love for the Lord was a flaming fire. God told us to do something, we would do it, right? Anything, Lord, you just name it, we were there. You know, we were eager, we were passionate for the Lord. We wanted to read the Bible, seek the Word of God. We wanted to know what God's will was for our lives. We would give our lives seeking the purpose of God. We were young ones. Yeah? But by and by, the years will come, you know, careers, family, children, and somehow that passion slowly erodes away. Now we wear a t-shirt, nah? Been there, done that. Nah? Seen everything already, nothing new to see, right? The flame that used to burn is now just some embers down there. And we are spiritually old. This can happen to you even though you're, you know, young in age. And in fact, it probably happens to many of us who are not that old yet. So sometimes this being old affects all of us one way or another, physically, but also spiritually old. No longer in our prime. So anyway, we all need to be refreshed by the Lord. So here was Moses, nearly 80 years old, going about his business at the back of the Midian desert. It's really interesting in this verse because, you know, when you read here, he said, the Bible says he was at Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai is the same, just different names. I'm not entirely sure why it has two different names, but sometimes the Bible calls it Mount Horeb, sometimes it calls it Mount Sinai, but this is the mountain of the Lord, right? It's the same. Now here, in Exodus chapter 3, it locates this mountain of the Lord, Mount Sinai, at the back of the Midian desert, which today is in Saudi Arabia. Now some of you may have had the opportunity to visit the so-called Mount Sinai, St. Catherine's Monastery, but that is located in the Sinai Peninsula, right? So we are not really sure where exactly this Mount Sinai is, depending on the text that you read. Nevertheless, whether it's Sinai Peninsula at the back of this Midian desert in modern-day Saudi Arabia, there was Moses, spending 40 years of his life, as I always like to say, squeezing sand between his toes. And there he was, doing the same thing he had been doing for, I guess, just about 40 years. And you know how it's like. Sometimes when you do the same thing for so long, you can do it without thinking. Have you ever noticed this? Sometimes, you know, downtown, you see people walking around, they actually are looking at their phone, they don't have to see where they will go on. It's like automatic. They just know where to turn. Alright, turn here. You know, sometimes, you just put something new, say a new pillar there, they'll walk right into it. Because they are so programmed to do it, they don't even have to look. The other day, I was, you know, preparing this sermon, I printed down the whole thing and going over my notes, and then I was a bit tired, and you know what I caught myself doing? I caught myself doing this, you know. I'm trying to scroll up this. Technology hasn't reached there, but you can scroll your piece of paper yet. But I'm so used to doing something, I just do it without thinking, why is it not scrolling? Oh yeah, this paper, old tech. It happens to all of us. When we do something and you no longer think about it, right? So you don't have to pay attention anymore, you switch off. And Moses was there, he's doing the same thing for 40 years. Go out, bring the sheep, you know, let them graze, make sure nothing attacks them, get them some water. Same thing, rinse and repeat for 40 years. You can do that without thinking anymore. And there's nothing he hasn't seen. 40 years, same desert, same place, same mountain. But on that day, he saw a strange sight. Exodus chapter 3, it says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert. Some version says west of the desert, but I think that's incorrect. Right, the Hebrew says the back of the desert, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire. But the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. There's four things here in this sequence of events. Very important season, four steps that I think can apply to all of us, particularly in this season of Lent, which really began last Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, right? A time of introspection. But let's go through this one by one. On this particular day, I would say maybe early in the morning or maybe late in the evening when it's a little bit darker. Because, you know, if it's in the middle of the day, it's quite hard to see this fire. This fire that appeared, the angel that appeared to him, did not appear in front of him. Right? It appeared somewhere away from where he was. Possibly up further up on the mountains. So, why God didn't just make it a burning sheep, I guess, or something. Then after they can eat the sheep. But, didn't happen like that. It required him to, look somewhere else. So, whatever the time was, maybe he saw the smoke or something. Now, fire in the desert is not altogether a strange thing, right? It's not unheard of. It can happen. When I was in Australia, camping in the outbacks, when I came back, my friend sometimes asked me, did you have a burning bush experience? I said, no. In the desert, you don't want to have seen burning bush. Bushfires are not a good thing. In the desert, you run when you see that, right? It does happen. Sometimes the lightning might strike and, you get a fire. It's very dry. Static can cause fires. It's not unheard of. But what was unusual here was that this fire kept on burning. So Moses, he would have been looking up, which itself is unusual for our times. Because if God sent a burning bush in our time, we would never see it. We're all looking down. Right? We are looking at videos of burning bushes. We have not seen the actual thing. Sometimes I think to myself, if God wanted to get our attention today, He would have to give us a burning phone. That would get our attention, right? But here he was looking up, and he must have stopped for a little while, alright? Because you see, the Bible says, he noticed that it was not consumed. So he was burning, he's looking, he's thinking, okay, this fire has gone on for 5 minutes. It doesn't seem to be burning out, right? And he's looking a little bit, so that's this distance, he sees this thing, he's thinking to himself, why isn't this burning out? So he's seen fires before, he knows what fire is like, he knows that after a while, whatever fueling this fire will be consumed and there's no more fire. It burns out eventually, but it did not burn out for him. So to his credit, Moses, he was curious enough to be arrested by this sight. He was curious enough to be stopped. Now, I think we are all curious. I think Singaporeans are curious people. I know that for a fact, actually. Because when I'm driving along the highway, sometimes, car accident. Right? When there's car accident, the whole queue of cars will all slow down to grinding to a halt. Sometimes it's just crawling along at a slow pace. And finally, when it's your turn to pass the wreckage, because you're thinking they have to drag the wreckage to the side of the road to clear the road, that's why it's so slow. You realize that, in fact, the accident was not even on the road, it was on the side of the road. Everyone was just slowing down to take pictures of it. We're all very curious, got blood or not, no? Anyone died or not, right? So we are all naturally curious, but we are also very busy. That's why sometimes we don't slow down a lot. So Moses, to his credit, he stopped. He saw this plume of smoke, perhaps. It was curious sight to him. At this point, he didn't know that this was from God. Although the Bible says an angel of the Lord appeared, right? But it wasn't evident to him at that point of time that this was something from God. As far as he was concerned, it was just a rather curious phenomena that was going on. But he stopped. And sometimes, the most important thing we can do in our own spiritual journey to draw near to God is that we need to stop in our tracks. That's the first thing, right? You need to stop in your tracks. Stop what is it that you're doing, that you're busy with. We need to stop the things that we are programmed to do already. We need to stop and look up, look around, look at our circumstances. Maybe God is performing something and notice what He's doing to reveal Himself to us. This is where our busyness and our schedules can sometimes end up becoming enemies of our spiritual growth. We are very busy. We are trying to do things, be productive, but that can become an enemy to intimacy with God. Because there's no more gap or space in our attention span when God can place a burning bush. Where God could place something to capture our attention. Because, frankly, as a nation, we are suffering from collective ADHD. We are all suffering from attention deficit disorder. We got to keep our time all occupied. The familiarity of life ushers us along a daily path that we go through without stopping, without looking up. Is God still speaking today? I think He is. I think He is. The phone is ringing, but no one is picking up the phone. Back in my house as a child, whenever the phone rang, all the children will rush, will scramble up the landing where the phone was between the first and second floor. We'll grab the phone and pick up, hello, We were so excited. Who might be calling? Now, granted, this was before the days of scam. So you didn't pick up. This is the Ministry of Health. Right? We didn't have that problem. It was always, who was calling us? So exciting. What stranger, what news might this phone call bring? We were eager. Of course, nowadays, everyone got phone, you know. In fact, people don't answer phones anymore. They don't like to answer phones. They just want text only, right? So, is God calling? Yeah, I think He's calling. I think the phone is ringing. As a matter of fact, the phone rang just now. Somebody's phone rang just now, right? So it's a good illustration here. The phone is ringing, but nobody's picking up. Sometimes we don't want to pick up because don't pretend you didn't hear. Because if you heard the call, then it becomes your responsibility to pick it up. So we don't, you know. But we come from a different time, a time when we look forward to phone calls. You know, I grew up like that. So when I see phone call ring, I get very stressed, you know. Someone answer it. I want to answer it for other people, right? So maybe this is something that God is doing. God is calling us. It can be that in our busyness, we just ignore it. A bit like the story of the Good Samaritan, right? The two men, the priest and the Levite, they were busy. They had things to do. Good things to do. And they just didn't want to answer that particular call. Let someone else answer it. So, question is, have we ourselves gotten to that point where we no longer stop even when God is calling? When God has sent messages or signals our way, we just didn't look up because we are too busy looking down. First thing we need to do, we need to stop. Moses could have gone about his business as usual, done what he's repeatedly done for 4 decades, but we have to stop doing those things that numb our spirit. Now, stopping can make us all feel a little bit uneasy. I don't know if you realize this. We feel a bit uneasy about stopping because we are trying to be efficient. You know, we've been trained and programmed and brainwashed that we must be very efficient. And when you stop, you feel like sometimes you're not doing anything. Years ago, I found myself reading a book by Richard Foster. He had a book called Celebration of Discipline, where he talked about, you know, spending time with God, meditating, all these different disciplines and all that. So my office was at that time in the Bible House, and I thought to myself, you know what? Yeah, I need to try this. I need to spend more time with God. Now, Bible House just next to Fort Canning. So I thought, okay, after work, I will go to Fort Canning. I will spend some time with God. So right after work, 5 o'clock, pack up everything. I went to Fort Canning, found myself a nice tree, sat down under the tree. And I realized, Richard Foster's weather and our weather different. Autumn. He writes about the beautiful leaves of fall. I got mosquitoes. He didn't write anything about that. Right? He talked about the breeze that remind him of God's love. I'm like, you know, I'm perspiring, very humid. I'm very sticky. I want to go and back and shower already. You know, I spent just about 15 minutes there. I say, you know what? This is a waste of time. This is not working for me. I'm not hearing God. I hear, right? It's all the mosquitoes going around me. But sometimes I think we come to a place where it almost seems like it's a waste of time to wait on the Lord. You know, I told you before about how, you know, I was out in the desert camping and then I climbed up this place and there was no cell phone signal. I can't use your telephone. It was just quiet. Nobody around for 50 kilometers, I think. And there I was sitting up there and I thought to myself, this is a great time, Lord. If you want to talk to me, now is a good chance, God. This is your chance to talk to me, Lord. Right? So I waited 5 minutes. Tick-tock. Oh, yeah. Seems like wasting time. Lord, you know, I really don't have a lot of time, God. You know, you want to talk to me, seize the opportunity, right? Otherwise, no more opportunity, ma. We are very busy, you know, Lord. I know you are very busy also, God, but I'm also very busy. I got rocks to see, you know. Sometimes it's like this, isn't it? We feel like it's a waste of time. What more if the end of that journey is uncertain? I mean, Moses could climb up all this mountain and just find nothing there. Oh, just a bit of shiny glass or something. Okay, they didn't probably have shiny glass up on the mountain. But, you know, maybe it was a mirage or something. It could turn out to be absolutely nothing. And then it would be a waste. That is how we are now all thinking about intimacy with God. Time with God seems like a waste. That's why we don't answer this phone call. Seems like such a waste of time. You know the woman with the alabaster jar? Right? Breaks up the perfume, pours the expensive perfume at the feet of Jesus, and the disciples saying, what a waste. You see, there's a way of thinking about efficiency. Let's make the most of what we have. And there's a language of worship where you lavish. You know, when you buy flowers for your wife or your loved one, Valentine's Day, right? I don't know how it is, lah. You go like, let's look for the cheapest one. Hey, this one, plastic one, can use for many years. Yeah, why do you buy flowers? It's such a waste, what? Right, you buy the flower, tomorrow die already. And the flowers, Valentine's Day, can be hundreds of dollars, you know. Right? So, you buy plastic one. Can use for many years. Think about that. Would you do that? No, yeah, you buy expensive stuff, right? I mean, the stone, this is a stone, you know, on the ring, diamond, but diamond is just stone, right? Why don't you get a normal stone, much cheaper? Yeah, phone ringing already. Someone have to answer. God could be calling, okay, so you better answer. So we have this, but when you love someone, you're not thinking about waste because God is worth it. This person you love is worth your time. You will never think it's such a waste. Or maybe, you know, you go out on a date with, you know, the girl that you're trying to propose to. You sit down. You're not really paying attention to whatever the show. The show was just an excuse to be there together. Right? You sit down and say, such a waste of time. I could be doing my report right now, you know. I'm just sitting down here. I'm not watching the show. We're just not even talking. We're just being together. You understand what I'm saying? We find ourselves in this culture where intimacy with God sometimes, dare we say it, seems like a waste of time. And maybe that's why we didn't answer the call. It makes us uneasy. From young, we have tried to fill up all our times with something. Even children, as young as, you know, maybe 1, 2 years old, have an iPad shoved in their face already. Right? With some, you know, a baby shark, whatever, you know, just keep them occupied so that they don't bother you. So that they also are not used to silence or not doing anything. Some of us will feel very uncomfortable searching for God, stopping what we are doing and searching for God. I think this is what we need to do. We need to stop. Moses stopped. And then after he stopped, the Bible tells us that he turned aside. When he saw this strange bush, the Bible says that Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn? Okay, Moses said, I will now. Wow, everyone say now. There's something to be said in the pursuit of God about the spontaneity of our faith. About responding to God when God calls you. Imagine Moses sees this strange bush. Up there, the sheep. Lord, hang in right there. Rain check, I'll come back tomorrow. Right. Sometimes it happens to us. God touches you. God's speaking to your heart. The Spirit is moving. But you got things to do. So God, I'll come back tomorrow. Let's see if this thing is still there tomorrow. And often it's too late. Yeah, phone call over already. Not ringing anymore. So Moses says, I will now turn aside. Now, in Hebrew, there are several words that can be translated as turn. Right? One word is shuv or teshuva, which is often translated as repent. Turn back, right, from your evil ways. Turn back from your erroneous ways. So you're going here. Now you turn back to where you were coming from before. There's this turning. But here is a slightly different word. It's a word called asura, which means like this. You're going here, now you turn here. You're not turning back, you're just stepping away from what you're doing. So he was turning aside. That's why the Bible has the word aside, turn aside. He's stepping away from his schedule. He's stepping away from what he would normally do, his, you know, pattern, whatever it is that he had planned before. He's departing from his plan, stepping outside of what he would normally, the path that he would normally have gone down. And I guess this can mean a lot of things to us because we all live highly optimized lives and schedules. Today, we are all about efficiency, right? If you are family with children and all that, you know, your whole day is tightly scheduled. Have to wake up at this time. Right? And you have to get your children ready by this time. Got to get in the car by this time. Because you are late, then the traffic will have built up and then you're caught in a jam. So you must get all these things ready. If you do all this correctly, you drop off your school, your kids in school at precisely this point of time, you know, maybe 7 o'clock or whatever. And then you will be just enough time to rush off to this place to get your coffee before the queue gets too long. And then you get to, you know, the whole thing is tightly planned. God forbid, if you're 5 minutes late, your whole day will be ruined. The ripple effect, you know. Woke up just 5 minutes late because you're tired. Now you cannot get out. You get out, the traffic already, you got caught in a jam. Kid will be late to school. Coffee will be cold already. Reach work late, gonna clock in by the, you know what I mean? Your boss will be unhappy. Your whole day will be ruined. We are so efficient. Now, I guess it's understandable why we want to maximize our resources and our time with a minimum input of energy because we are all so tired, right? But the side effect of this is most of us become very unwilling to turn aside. Very unwilling. If God calls you to do anything, God, you know, can we do this at 3:30 later on? Right? I'm sending my kid to school. Burning bush. Pastor says stop, but how? If I stop now, my kid will be stuck, cannot go to school. I hope it's still burning when I come back. And I can't come back until 3:30 in the afternoon. You know what I mean? This happens to all of us. I'm not just talking about you. Even for my life, it's a struggle. But I realize that in this Lenten season, one of the things we have to do is we just have to stop and we have to turn aside. It's not just about fasting or anything. It's about turning aside from what it is you're doing because we want to spontaneously and in faith respond to God. So here we are, trapped in the chains of efficiency, unable to turn even just a bit, cannot, it's too tight. So every turning involves a sacrifice on our part now, an intentional investment of time and energy that, you know, you have to tear yourself away from this carefully crafted lifestyle that we have. For Moses, it also involved a great risk, right? What happens if after doing all this, then nothing? Then you feel terrible. I turn aside and then my kid is not upset, the teacher is upset, my boss is upset, everyone upset. And for what? It turned out that it wasn't a burning bush after all. It was something else, right? So now we feel doubly bad. Next time, confirm, we will not turn aside already. Right? This is kind of how our life is. So, to turn aside, what can we do? Well, it's not just turning aside from your schedule. This is the first of the things you can turn aside. Beyond this turning aside, there's so many things else that keep us trapped in a lifestyle that prevents us from drawing near to God. You turn aside from our ego and our pride, among other things. Turn aside from our right to do certain things that we like to do. Turn aside from our stubbornness. Turn aside from our selfishness. All these things conspire to keep you away from God's burning bush. So God is calling. It's very hard for us to turn to God. Now, in Exodus chapter 3 verse 4, we come to this really interesting, you know, point in that whole narrative. It says here, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look. So Moses turns aside to look, right? He stopped, he turned, and he looked. When the Lord saw that he did this, God called him. Of course, that's coming from the midst of the bush. Says, Moses, Moses calls him by name. And he said, here am I. Here I am. It was almost as if God was waiting. You understand? God was waiting to see. And sometimes I imagine this, that God is looking down on earth from his heavenly vantage point. He looks at all these 7 billion or so human beings on this earth. We are probably like ants, less than ants. You know, yesterday I stepped into a bunch of ants, so many ants on my feet. But God's looking at us, we are less than ants. Of these ants, 2 billion of them call themselves Christian ants, right? So, they are there and God is looking, and what is God looking for? God is looking to see who is going to answer the call, right? God's looking to see, and can you just imagine? everyone's going about their life, pursuing their own plans, their own dreams, their own, you know, priorities. And suddenly, someone stopped. And God, whole heaven, all grand, God, everyone stop. Look down there, on that red dot. Someone stopped. Look at him. What's he going to do? Is he? Oh, he was going elsewhere. Oh, he stopped. No, he's turning. All the angels looking on with bated breath. And God is anticipating. He turned. He looked. He turned aside and he looked. And God is, yes. It's almost like God is waiting so hard that some of us will turn back to him. So when God saw that Moses turned aside to look, God called him. God revealed himself more to him. You want to have an encounter with God, you've got to do this. God is not going to come back you. Right? Come in front. Please, please, please give me 5 minutes of your time. I know you're a very busy man, but I want to have some intimate. God's not going to do that. God will give you a burning bush, a ring of the phone. Now it's up to you to respond. But if you do respond, and God sees that, then God will come to you. In James chapter 4 verse 8, it says, if we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. Right? Draw near to God. And it's just a mutual drawing near. Today is unilateral. God trying to draw near to us. We're just going around and around doing our own stuff, right? So God was waiting. And I think today God is still waiting. The book of Chronicles has this verse that I really like. It says, the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro the whole earth, looking for those whose hearts are perfect unto him, or loyal unto him, in order to show himself mighty or powerful on their behalf, depending on which version, you know, you read. So, I think today, God wants to do something. He's on the verge of doing something, but he's waiting to see who would stop, who would turn, and who would look for him. We need to look for God. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13 says, you seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you turn to God with all your heart, God will turn to you with all his heart. And that would be such an amazing thing. Amen. So I guess this is the third thing we need to do. We need to stop. We need to turn. And the third thing, we need to look to God. We need to search for God. We need to seek God. So all of this brings us to this last point, because you would have thought that this is the end of the story, right? But actually it is not. Because in Exodus chapter 3 verse 5, something rather unusual happens, right? Moses, he leaves whatever his sheep is down there, he comes up the mountain, he approaches this burning bush, this curious sight. And then he hears God calling him by name. You know, God knows all of us by name. You do realize that, right? God knows all our names. But he will call you. And Moses heard God calling him by name. Now he comes to God, and that would normally be the end of the story, but turns out it's not. Exodus chapter 3 verse 5 says, then he said, as God said, do not draw near this place. Wow. Why? I mean, I thought the whole point of this thing was to draw near to God, right? So how is it that after having done all that thing, God says, do not draw near this point? Because there was one more thing that's left, one more step that's needed. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, and here's God revealing himself even more, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses, he hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. See, this progressive revelation. At first, so this is just some curious sight. Then he hears God calling him. Oh, wow, this is a divine sight. And then there's one more thing. And that thing was, he understands something. God is holy. Right? So even as we endeavor to approach God in his holy place, to come to the place of, sometimes we sing the divine exchange, you know, to come into that special place where God is present, and where God is present, everything happens. You know, healing, restoration, the greatest blessing, the greatest joy. As we endeavor to step into this place, it turns out that you can't just saunter into God's presence. there is a shedding. You need to remove something. Right? Not everything can enter into God's presence because He is a holy God. So we need to take off the proverbial sandals in our life. I think it's human nature to want our cake and eat it as well. We want everything. We want our life. We also want God somehow to smash it all together. Hopefully, it doesn't take up too much of our time, you know. It doesn't work like this. Lent is about choosing. You have to make a choice. God made a choice for you. He made a choice when He went to the cross of Calvary for you. But you also have to make a choice that you will go to the cross of Calvary also, right? Take up your cross and follow Him. You have to make a choice. So here, God tells Moses, Moses, no, you got to shed these things. I don't know what it is that we need to shed in our lives. Some of us, you need to be shedding the sandals of sin, right? That sin in our life is getting in the way, is preventing you from coming near to God. Take off those sandals. Because the ground that God is inviting you in is holy ground. Some of you, just too caught up with your life, you need to take off the sandals if you want to come into God's presence. And I believe you do. So you need to shed those sandals. I do not know what sandals you might be wearing today. But if the Holy Spirit will point that out to you right now, I urge you, take off those sandals. Because the ground upon which you stand is holy. That includes those of you who are at home watching this. So just to be clear, Lent is not really a season of abstention, abstaining from things. It's definitely, for sure, it's not a time of getting, you know, losing weight or go on diet or this kind of thing, right? It's not about not doing stuff. It's about what you're doing. The not doing is only meaningful insofar as it frees you to pursue God. If you're not eating to save money, that's not Lent. You can do that anytime you want, right? It's called saving money. You're not eating to lose weight, then that's dieting. But you are not eating to pursue God. You are denying yourself your bad habits. You are denying yourself. You are saying no to the world. Because the Bible says in James chapter 4, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You have to choose, you see. So Lent is about choosing. And surely, this whole shedding is an ongoing process. It's not just a Lent thing. It happens all the time. So, in this season, even as we all press into the holy place, we need the Prince of Peace so much in this time, right? Can you hear the voice of the Holy One calling you? The Ancient of Days beckoning to you. Your phone call ringing. The caller ID, the one, right? The one calling you. Asking us to remove, to stop what we are doing. Stop. To turn aside from where we were going. To go somewhere else with Him. Just come with me. Let's walk in the garden. I would love to, Lord, but, you know, no buts, no ifs. Just turn aside. To search for Him, to run after Him, to look for God. And then, of course, as you come into the Holy of Holies, to remove those sandals. Is this the desire of your heart today? I wonder. You know, I had things change a bit. I will ask you all to come forward. But as it stands, you respond to God in your own heart. Because He is calling. Not only is He calling, the Bible tells us God is looking to see if some of you might be the guy or the girl who stops, who turns, who looks, and God says, you know what, this is the one. And I'll call you by name. Would you close your eyes? Lord, we thank You because You are such a gracious and loving God, that You're patient with us when we ignore You over and over and over again. Sorry, Lord. We're sorry that we are more captivated by our own lives than we are with Your purposes for us. Lord, today we want to come back to that place. There's always new beginnings in you. So Father, we pray that you heal us from our spiritual lethargy, our spiritual old age. Grant us the fire that burns not just in the bush but also in our hearts for you all over again. And today, give us the strength, God, to make the choices to come near you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We respond to you. We say yes to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we sing this song before we have the announcements?
Never let me go. Laid it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.